John chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. Who turned out the lights? That sounds like Pastor Jim. Who's in the house? Who turned out the lights? I was in Bible college in a large auditorium. The auditorium of the church there at Highland Park Baptist Church was 6,000 seats. It was just a huge place. That was no balcony. That was just all on the floor, 6,000 seats. Huge place. And one day we were there for chapel, and all of a sudden the power went out. I mean, it just boom. There was a loud boom. You know, that's what happens with the sound system, I guess, when that happens. Somewhere there was a wreck, and some truck had hit the electric pole, you know, and that gave us electricity service. And boy, all the lights went out. It was dark. And you know, what do you do then? Who turned out the lights? Have you ever been somewhere when someone turned out the lights on you? We've done that sometimes, locking up a church. And back there doing something, and then someone turns out all the lights, and you can't see, hey, turn the light back on, you know. You know, spiritually, light is tied with the Lord, and darkness is tied with sin, Satan. And as Christians, sometimes you can see someone, look him in the eye, and the light is gone. What I mean is, they're discouraged, they're despondent, depressed, whatever the case may be, and they're just kind of floating through life. And the lights are not on. Who turned out the lights? I believe this will help us here, at least with one segment of this. Look, please, at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7. Brethren, now, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell you, then we're glad that you're here, but you're not going to understand some of this that we're going to be talking about. Because it's written to the family of God. And like the songwriter says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. By the way, that's not a contradiction. He's saying the old commandment and new commandment. We'll look at that in a moment. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you would open our eyes to your holy word. Lord, may the scripture be given power and unction by the sweet Holy Spirit today. Lord, meet with us. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. There'll be no more night one day, no more darkness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more parting over there. And Lord, until then, I pray that we will live the life that you give us, Lord, with the wisdom that you show us. To follow your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who turned out the lights? We're given a divine commandment. If you have your notes there, we're going to look at this first thought, a divine commandment. He said in verse 7, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. Now, this old commandment was given to us by Jesus Christ from the very beginning. And so it's not something new. Now, I know that a lot of times we come to church and we want to hear something new. We want to hear something about prophecy, something just breaking news. And it's exciting when we see things being fulfilled and things that we haven't seen before and understood before. And it seems like it's something new to us. Most of the time, it's not the things that are new that we need the most. It's to remember and to put into action the things that we already know. It's the basic things. Those are the things that trip us up the most. And so he's saying here that this divine commandment, it was declared by Christ's expression, his own words. He told us this commandment. John 13:34, jot down that reference. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Loving. Now, loving is more than just saying I love you. Gentlemen, talk to your wife about that. How does she understand that you love her? How does she feel loved? Now, it's wonderful how God made us. He made us unique. You know, if all of us were the same and all of our needs were the same, life would quickly become boring. And so, gentlemen, He gives us a wife that we will spend the rest of our life understanding. New pages are turned every year of our life. And so it's never a rerun with our spouse. And by the way, ladies, I'm not picking on you. You know, we're a hard case. We husbands are. And every child that we have is unique and special. And each one needs to be loved differently. Each one needs a special kind of attention. Some need an enormous amount of time. Some might need an expression of love in the form of a gift. And it's not how many dollar signs are after it. It was that you thought about them and you brought them home something. That tells them that they are loved. And so you need to be able to understand how to show love. But love has to be shown. Has to be shown in order to be felt and understood. Declared by Christ's expression throughout the Word of God. He told His disciples, I have loved you from the beginning. And I'll love you through the end. Is declared by Christ's expression. And secondly, is displayed by Christ's example. 1 John chapter 4. Turn over to 1 John 4, just one page over, verse 19. The Bible says, we love Him because He, what? First loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We love Him because He first loved us. He gave us that example. It's so much easier to follow someone's example than it is to follow what they say. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If we want the light of God's love to be seen and to be shown through us, we have to have Jesus Christ be in charge of us. His personality flowing through us. That has helped me a lot, by the way. You know, there are many, many times, because of my nature, because of my personality, I'm, by nature, an introvert, okay? I'm totally fine with just sitting over in a corner and watching everybody else have a good time. I don't feel left out. I don't feel snubbed. You know, it's okay. I'm totally happy with that. But, you know, Jesus, He showed love to others. He came out of Himself and out of His own comfort zone to meet the needs of others. And so you might say, well, that's not exactly who I am, you know. That's okay. You have another person living within you. His name is Jesus Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit. The triune God, one in the same, He's living within you. And if you would say, now, Lord Jesus, would you please live your personality through me? Some of you might be more gregarious and very quick to speak. And maybe you even speak before you think. And you say, that's who I am. And your mouth gets you in trouble. I've done that many, many times. A mouth gets me in trouble. You know? That's just who I am, you know? Guess what? You don't have to rely on just who you are. Because you have the Holy Spirit also living within you. And the personality of Jesus Christ can come out. Okay, so no matter what end of the spectrum you might find yourself, you can show love and you can do it in a way that will bring light back into someone's eyes. I think of a man named Simeon. When Jesus was only 8 days old, Mary and Joseph brought Simeon to the temple. And he said these words. He said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The light of the world had come. Now, folks, that's exciting to me. That living this Christian life is not up to Mark Sears. I can rely upon the light of the world to shine on other people through me, if I let him do that. And it is not just a divine command, but secondly, it is a daily choice. A daily choice. We choose. By the way, love is a decision. Love is an action. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hollywood tells us that love is a feeling, and I just don't feel like I love him anymore. I just don't feel like I can love her anymore. And feelings, nothing more than feelings, like the song says. Listen, folks, love, that kind of a love is a sensual love. What can you do for me kind of a love? The kind of love that the world does not have is an unselfish, God-like love. And it is a daily choice to love others. If you, some of you have heard of, Mammoth Cave. And anybody ever heard of Mammoth Cave? Okay. How about Ruby Falls? Anybody heard of Ruby Falls? Okay. If you've been in either one of those places, it's interesting. Whenever they turn off the lights, I mean, it is dark. But if someone lights a match or turns on the weakest flashlight, it's amazing that all that darkness cannot stop that light. Light is greater than darkness. Now, you need to understand that it's always more powerful. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so if you're surrounded by people that are angry, surrounded by people that are bitter, surrounded by people that are vengeful and revengeful and all that kind of thing. And maybe you grew up in a home like that. Don't you cross me, it'd be the last thing you ever do. You know. Listen, folks, let the light of Jesus shine, and it is more powerful than the greatest darkness that there ever is. A daily choice. Here's a thought. Look, please, at verse number 8. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Now, he said an old commandment in verse 7. And in verse 8, he says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you." He says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you." Now, why do you think it has to be said again? Because tomorrow it has to be said again. It has to be renewed. We're renewed every morning. The Bible says, "Great is thy faithfulness." His mercies are new. He's able to meet our needs, but it's on a daily basis. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's a daily choice, and choosing, letter A, choosing brings consistency. Brings consistency. If there's anything that we need in churches today, we need consistent Christians. One day, this Christian is hot and on fire for God. The next day, the sky is falling and God's forgotten my address and this thing's happening and this thing's happening. And where's God, you know? And then revival meeting happens and praise the Lord, I'm on top of the mountain, you know? We all go through difficulties, but in the midst of the difficulties, God hasn't changed, okay? And wouldn't it be marvelous if we got to the place in our spiritual life, in our spiritual growth, that we had a hold, stronghold on the anchor of Almighty God, so that it gives us a measure of consistency even in the midst of storms. That's what we need. We need faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says it this way. Jot down that reference. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement. If you're going to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ, He expects certain things of us. And one of those things is consistency, faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." We're in a war, people. We're in a war. And Satan wants to embarrass the name of Jesus Christ by trying to get us to want to quit, trying to get us to want to surrender and turn away from God's plan for our life. He wants us to embrace temptation and embrace sin in our life. He wants to embarrass the name of Almighty God through us. Let it not be so. We need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. And this thought of loving others, that's what the commandment is, loving others. Some people would say, you know, I would teach Sunday school. I just can't get along with those people. Do you know that we all stink? Every last one of us? Every last one of us have idiosyncrasies that would rub other people the wrong way. Some people get upset if the preacher puts one hand in his pocket. They think it looks too casual. Some people think that the preacher is way too, trying to be too dignified. I mean, he ought to just cut loose and preach, amen. You just can't please everybody. There's one person that we need to target to please, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as we seek to please Him, then we love everybody around us. If they like us, we love them. If they don't like us, we love them. Because we love Him because He first loved us. So therefore, we can love somebody else even if they don't love us. Because guess what? It might come around. They might change their mind. They might love us one day. But guess what? If we're saved and if we're going to heaven, one day they're going to love us. And they might not get along with us down here, but that's all right. Because when we rub shoulders in heaven, it's going to be all just wiped. And everything's going to be good. By the way, if you'll bear that in mind, it'll help us to get along with people down here because we are going to be with them in heaven. That's right. Okay. So this thought of it deciding every day, I'm going to love everybody, not just those who love me. I'm going to love those who don't love me, and I'm going to show my love somehow, some way. I'm going to demonstrate that. Letter B. Carnality brings confusion. For someone who says, I'm not going to do that, there's a divine command. I understand that. It came from Jesus. I understand that. And He demonstrated it. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a show of love. I understand all that, but you understand what this person did to me. I just can't love them. I can't get over it. I can't get past it. Okay, so that means the flesh is involved then. The old man is in charge then. It's called in the Bible carnality, the carnal man. Okay? So carnality brings confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Go back to our text. Look at verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Oh, I don't hate my brother. I just don't want to be around him. I don't hate that person. I just don't want to talk to him. I don't hate that person. I just don't want to go shopping with him, you know. It's fine that they sit on the other side of the church. That's good. We're taking off our halos on Thursday nights. You know, we're just dealing with nitty gritty. He said, John said, "I write these things to you." Five times he says that right here. Anyway, James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." There ought to be peace amongst the family of God. There ought to be a quiet, settled confidence. That we don't know, don't have all the answers to everything, but we are directly connected to the one who does have all the answers. And we're not letting what someone else did to us, whether it's in our family or in our church or at our work some friend that turned on us and betrayed us. We can't allow that to short circuit what God wants to do in our life. One of the things that they did for the bus. Pastor Tim told me, he said, by the way, he said, while the bus is there, tell them about this. I said, okay. When we were on our way to camp, he said, they hit a rainstorm. And it was raining pretty good. And he said, all of a sudden, in the middle of that rainstorm, the bus just quit. It just stopped. And so they just coasted off to the side of the road, and here it is raining. Didn't know what had happened or why or anything like that. Come to find out, in the back of that bus, there's a great big fuse box, wires and all, everything going everywhere, everything plugged in, you know, and stuff. And somewhere along the line, there was a cover that was supposed to be on that fuse box. And that cover had come off. And so when water splashed up into there, it short-circuited, sparks, and boy, it just laid down. And it wasn't going anywhere until it got dried out, you know, and everything, and then fired back up. Lo and behold, if they didn't cover it back up and got another rainstorm, I told him, I said, guys, we can't afford to do that. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know what to do with all this. I said, cover that thing. And boy, I tell you what, they put a nice plexiglass cover over that. You can see through it, but it's waterproof. Amen. You know that God gave us armor to cover ourselves? Because there will be attack, and there will be arrows, and there will be the fiery darts of the wicked one, and there will be doubt and all kinds of things. Where's God, and why is he allowing this, and why would they? Let it bounce off Christ's armor. Carnality brings confusion because we set our armor down and we move away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and we're in charge, and we say, I think I know best. And boy, Satan just has a time with us. Look at verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. Before we go to verse 10, I want to remind you of this. We have hate and love. In God's eyes, it's one or the other. Oh, well, there's all these things in between. I don't find that in God's eyes. I find righteousness and sin. I find holiness and iniquity. When God sees our life, he sees black and white. Hateth our brother or loveth our brother? That's the brass tacks. Okay, so we've seen that carnality brings confusion, but look at this next one. Charity brings clarity. Look at verse number 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Abideth in the light. Now listen, folks. I can have great boldness and confidence. I could leave this platform in a hurry, and I could get to John Malott in a hurry. I just go like this right here, and I could get right to him. You turn off the lights in here, and I try to feel my way and try to remember where he's at, because I can't see him. Now, the Bible says that when we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ within us, it gives clarity to everything that we do. Boldness, confidence, direction, peace. All the things that people, you know, think that, oh, well, so-and-so is a great Christian. No. They're connected to their great God. That's who they are. The greatest Christians that ever lived were people like Paul. And Paul was, you know, probably a short guy that was not very strong, and he had ailments, and he himself said that he probably wasn't very handsome and all those kinds of things. But yet when God got a hold of him, he used him in a mighty way. Charity brings clarity. I use the word charity because that's the word used in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity. That's the agape love. The God kind of unselfish love. The giving kind of love. And I think that's why we use the word charity when we talk about Salvation Army and United Way and, you know, give to charities and that kind of thing. Because it's giving with no expectation of anything in return. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity bondeth not itself. And on, 1 Corinthians 13. And so, if it said love, you know, we might not get the full picture. Luke 11:34 says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." Guys, have you ever used a pair of binoculars? Sure you have. You've gone hunting or gone to a football game, some kind of athletic event, and you brought your binoculars with you. Well, first of all, you want to get them to the right place before you can look through them. You have to get them, you know, moved to your eye sockets, and then you focus it. And what was maybe two images now move into one. You're looking through two lenses, but now it's one picture. It's one picture. You ever done, I don't know if you want to do this now or not, but if you take your two fingers and you move them together and you ever do that? It doesn't take much to amuse me. But as you do that and you let your eyes go out of focus, you can have a little finger appear in between the two fingers. It's strange. But it's because your eyes are out of focus. You're inconsistent. Your mind is confused. But you know, because of how God made us, we have two eyes. And because of those two eyes that are blended together, that are seeing the same thing the same way, you not only can see it clearly, you have depth perception and all these wonderful things with both eyes. And Jesus was saying it this way. You want clarity? You want focus? Spiritually? You understand physically how that works? Well, spiritually, let the light of God flood your heart. Let His presence be your guide. Now, there are times that a husband and wife might set aside a special time of their life to have a date, you know, and candlelight dinner. And if you do that when you're dating, it's very, very good. Very good. You know why? Because in candlelight, everybody looks good. Little wrinkles and imperfections and all that kind of thing, they're not seen, you know. And so there's the glow and the romance and the music, and it just makes for a wonderful time. You're getting ready in the morning in the bathroom with all the lights on. Woo! Nothing's hidden. I'm still amazed that she stays with me. John 3:20 says about that, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Let's just stay away from the light. I'll feel better about myself. That's why a lot of people won't go to church, by the way. They won't go to church because they don't want God to deal with their heart. The preacher doesn't know a thing about them, but they would walk out the doors thinking that somebody ratted on them to the preacher because the preacher just was pointing at them and preaching at them the whole time. It was God. So, there's a divine command to make a daily choice to love people. To love people. Or we invite a dark condition into our heart. A dark condition into our heart. Look, please, at verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Doesn't say it will blind our eyes. You ever had somebody, I remember this happening. My dad, we were walking somewhere, and there was a couple of men working, and they were arc welding. I think that's what it is. And the sparks, and it was a type of thing that they have the hood that comes down and the glass. I know you're laughing at me. I don't know all these things. But the light of the welding, he said, Mark, don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't stare at that. That'll hurt your eyes. I remember him telling me that. It will. Over time, it could damage you. What God is saying is that if we are in this dark condition, we will be blinded right then. Rewind back to Genesis chapter 3. Here's the question. When God said to Adam and Eve, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. From God's perspective, did they die that day? Yes, they were separated from Him. It began a physical process of dying. But spiritually, at the moment that they rebelled against God, they died. Now hear me, please. If we embrace sin into our life in this capacity that we will not love someone, then we turn off the flow of God's blessing and His light in our life. We're blinded. So many people are saying this. They're saying, you know, I just don't know what God wants me to do in my life. I want to know His will. And they say that, and it sounds really, really good. Sometimes God gives us time where we are waiting on Him. I understand that. But a lot of times, and I can give testimony of this in my own life, that a lot of times I have walked away from the spiritual intercom that God cannot speak in my heart and my life because I'm choosing to do my own thing my own way. And I can say I want to please God. I can say that God hasn't told me. But perhaps I'm not in that place of blessing and surrender, and I'm blinded spiritually. We will be presently blind. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. A fool's wrath is presently known. Matthew 15:14, Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, and he said this, let them alone, they be blind, leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. They're not going blind, he said, they are blind. Presently blind. Letter B, we'll be purposefully blind. Not just presently blind, but purposefully. Our purpose in life. Romans 8:28, we all know this verse, don't you? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. The Apostle Paul had a purpose for his life. Oh, well, he was an apostle. Hey, I've got news for you. God has a purpose for your life, too. Well, I wish He'd tell me. Well, chances are, if we're doing what God tells us to do right now, obedient to the revealed will, then the special will of God will take care of itself. We will be purposely blind, presently blind, be personally blind. Do you see that in verse 11? The Bible says at the end of the verse, He says, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I don't know what it's like to be blind. I praise God for that. There have been people who have been blind and they've had some surgeries and they can see. But I've never experienced that. I can only imagine. If you close your eyes and think what it'd be like to never being able to see where you're going. having to depend upon someone's arm, that they're going to watch out for you, and tapping along, or having a service dog, and just hoping they're not going to fall on your face and again, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know what it's like. But spiritually, to be blind spiritually and not even know it? Deceiving ourselves? To think that everything's going just dandy? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." This is a great study we've done there in 2 Peter chapter 1. And how that add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and knowledge patience, and so on and so forth. All the way, brotherly kindness and charity. The Bible says, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, has no vision for the future, for his life or for God's purpose, and has forgotten he was purged from his old sins." He even wonders if he is even going to heaven, because he's not living like a Christian. Revelation 3:17 says this, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." This is the church at Laodicea. The church at Laodicea. Let me wrap this all up, okay? We're reminded of our little saying here, love God and love people. And here in 1 John chapter 2, he's saying, Jesus gave a commandment in the beginning. I'm going to remind you again that this new commandment is new every morning, every day. It's a constant battle with self. Who's going to be at the front of the line? Who's going to be first? Who's going to be recognized? Who's going to be praised? If you've done something and someone else gets the credit, if you can be glad for that person who got the credit, wow, you love them. You love them. You see, if one of my family got praised for something, and maybe I did it, but they get recognized, I'm not a bit jealous. I'm glad they're getting recognized. Maybe they didn't do that time, but it's about time that somebody recognized. You know those thoughts that go through a person's mind, a dad, a mom, a grandparent. Why? Because you love them. I leave you this thought. We're almost done. People may not easily act on what we believe, but they can easily believe in our actions. I don't think you're going to find that saying anywhere else. It came out of the cobwebs of this head. People may not easily act on what we believe. In essence, you might reach in your pocket and pull out a gospel tract. You might tell them about the Lord and what He's done in your life and all these kinds of things. And they may not easily believe what you're telling them. But they can easily believe on what they see in our life, our actions. That they can grasp. And Jesus said it this way in John 14:11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Even He said it. The things that I'm doing, showing the Father to you. And He told us that we're to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. James Dobson tells a story about a lady named Stella Thornhope. Stella Thornhope was taking care of her dear husband. And he was getting very close to going home to glory. It wasn't a surprise. It was a long-standing illness. And he was failing and failing and failing. And he went home to be with the Lord. And in just 2.5 months, Stella found herself at Christmas. She didn't have much desire to put up decorations. There were no kids at home. She was by herself. She didn't get the tree out and put any decorations outside, inside. She was just, you know, pretty blue and pretty discouraged. 3 days before Christmas came a knock at the door. She opened the door and there was a young man standing there with a box. She said, ma'am, he said, ma'am, I have a delivery for you. She said, well, who's it from? Well, here, just go ahead and sign here, please. And so she said, okay. So she signed. And she gave a clipboard back to the boy. She said, who's it from? And he handed her the box. And as he handed her the box, he opened up the lid. And there was a precious little yellow lab puppy. It was barely a few months old. But it was already housebroken. And he said, ma'am, they told me to give this to you. And he handed her a little book. She said, who is this from? He looked at her and he said, it's from your husband. See, they told me at the kennel that he wanted to give you one more Christmas gift. And he knew that he was going on to glory. And so he arranged with the kennel while the dog was still pregnant with puppies. And he told them, he said, I want you to deliver this a few days before Christmas. I want you to take care of the puppy, and I want you to make sure it's housebroken, all that kind of thing. And as she opened up the book, he had written to her how much he loved her, and to be strong, and to carry on, and it'll be worth it, and he's going to be waiting on the other side, looking for her, because he loved her. Tears ran down her cheeks. She looked at that little puppy, set down the box, got the puppy out. She said, I think there's some things down in the basement you'd pretty like. I got a tree down there. Got some lights on it. What made the difference? Some love that was shown. Some real love. Some creative love. And that's what turns the lights on in somebody's heart, in someone's life. And that's what Jesus says we're to do with everybody else. All of us show love one to another. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, there are times that we might ask, who turned out the lights? In our church, in our family, in our personal walk with you. Lord, help us not to be happy with just wandering in the darkness and letting life happen to us. Lord, help us to live with purpose. Help us to live with a desire to please you and to make a difference in the time that you give us. Lord, may that difference be seen in the love that we show. Because, Lord, you showed the ultimate love to us. I pray now that you'll bless us as we go our separate ways in just a few moments. Help us to serve you. And, Lord, help us show your love to somebody who needs it the most. I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.